Ain't God good? Isn't it good to be saved? You know, we come into church, we sing to glorify God, we sing to edify the church, we sing to, because we're happy, because we rejoice in our Lord and all the goodness that He has for us, all those good things. He's a good God. Everything He does is good. God is love. He loves us and teaches us how to love one another. We're taught of God, the Bible says, how to love. Not the sensual thing, but that fruit of the Spirit, that love that gives, that love that pain that we go through because of that love. And I'm not preaching on it this morning. I'm going to preach on something that a lot of churches you don't hear preached on anymore. We're going to preach about sin, a little bit about sin. And some of those things that accompany it, the Bible says to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. God puts up with a lot from all of us. He expects us to put up with a lot among each other. But a lot of times as Christians, we'll go through life and never recognize anything apart from those the basic Ten Commandments. We'll think everything else is okay if we can't line it up under there, but Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. A man that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But there's a lot of little attitudes and things that come into even a Christian's heart after you get saved. And most of the time it's when we try to resurrect that corpse, that old man that Paul says to mortify. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. That means you're to, he said, I die daily. You're to mortify that flesh. And the problem is, many times we don't recognize it but because it's one of those subtle things that develops in a person's character. And if you were born in the flesh, like all of us here are, you're going to have some of those tendencies the moment you get out of the light, walking in the light with God. The moment you start taking your eyes off Jesus Christ, you're going to have problems with the flesh. You remember Peter when he was walking on the water, as long as his eyes were fixed on the Lord, he was rocking right along. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, that's when he sank. And I want to try to get us to just look at ourselves closely. Some of these things we're going to talk about may have never come into your heart. But many of them have come into my heart. And to try to recognize them for what they are is important for us. If you don't recognize that you've got a sin problem in a certain area, then how are you gonna even ask forgiveness for that? Who was David that asked the Lord to cleanse him from his secret faults? Was that David, Brother Phil? From my secret faults. Don't think that is David. I don't remember who that was. But you've got some faults that only your wife is able to point out, or maybe some of those people you work with, because you don't see them. And well, we all have that. And those faults, if they're outside of the parameters of what a Christian ought to be, that holy character of God, then it's something you need to deal with. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 4, and notice there in Genesis 4:7, and I'll put the context here in a second. It said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. God wants us to do well. And then he says, and if thou doest not well, watch it. And here's the text for today. Sin lieth at the door. I've so many times, just about every day, I'll come across something that if I approach it the wrong way or think about it the wrong way, go about it the wrong way, I need to look out because sin lieth at the door. That sin might be behind door number one, and if you choose door number two or door number three, you'll probably be okay. But if that sin is going to be there because the devil stands against the church and he puts obstacles and hurdles against the church and he don't want you to do well. The context here in this verse I just read is Cain and his works that he brought for a sacrifice, and God didn't accept his works. Born Again sings that song, You Can't Get Blood from a Turnip. That was written by Gary Doody. Didn't he write that song? Gary Duty up in Michigan. Gary and I go back a long way. We've got some mutual friends. Gary's a great songwriter. Sang with a group called what? Jeff, what was the name of the? Pardon? Sound Doctrine. The name of their group. But the song about you can't get blood from a turnip. And Cain was trying to get blood from a turnip. He couldn't get it. But God didn't accept Cain's work. And Abel, on the other hand, he brought a lamb. A picture of the Lamb of God, pictured in type that it required the blood sacrifice to be acceptable with God. That Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is the only sacrifice acceptable for your salvation this morning. Every blood-bought, born-again Christian now should do good works. It isn't your good works that got you saved. It isn't your good works that are going to keep you saved. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before foreordained that we should walk in them. So if you're saved here this morning, you should walk in good works. Don't that make sense? In fact, you notice here that it says we are his workmanship. What we do in our good works need to be, we need to recognize that it's his workmanship and not our own. When we start taking credit and giving ourselves glory for things that we do for God, then you've got your reward already. So there's no good works that you can do that'll be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ that you've taken all the glory and credit for down here. Bible says every man's work shall be gone over or of what sort it is, shall be judged as of what sort it is. What was your motive for the work? Was it to glorify God? Being created in Christ Jesus, it says here, unto good works. Now, that gives the key there. For your good works to be recognized as good works before God, they have to be after you get saved. You have to be created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's the new birth. Outside of our standing in Christ, there are no works sufficient nor acceptable to God for anything. In fact, Isaiah said, for all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So once you get into the body of Christ, you're a member of the Lord's church, then you go to work, and it's all for his glory. Lord told his disciples in John 6:28, he said, this is the work of God. God's work. That you believe on him whom he hath sent. You want to do the work of God, first of all, you got to believe. You got to believe to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so your salvation is a work of God for you, not your work. Not your work for God. That Cain's problem is he was trying to impress God. God's not impressed. What Abel did, on the other hand, was simply to try to please God. There's a difference. A difference. Now, your work for the Lord comes only after salvation. Your righteousness is in Christ, and your works in Christ are to his glory. Not to glorify yourself, not to glorify your local church. And there's a ton of civic organizations out there that do wonderful works. But different lodges, you had, and then the Kiwanis Club, the Eagles, all those clubs do wonderful works. The Lions Club do wonderful works. But they do not work for the glory of Jesus Christ. They work for social glory. Let's bring about social change. And and there's a lot of good things they do. But it brings glory to them and not to the Lord. That's where we differ. And the first thing Abel presented to the Lord was the blood of a lamb. And the Lord referred back to Abel over there in Matthew and called him righteous Abel. Why was he righteous? Because he brought the blood. That's what he was trusting in. It pictured trusting in Jesus Christ. In Genesis 4:7, I'll get into this here soon. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, watch it, sin lieth at the door. Now, the Bible says, as Christians, that we should not give occasion to the flesh. Anytime you give occasion to the flesh, sin lieth at the door. Every time you get close to something that is sinful, allow yourself to be put in a position where you're challenged, your faith is challenged by where you've allowed yourself to be. You have given occasion to the flesh. Well, I don't drink anymore. I gave that up because I'm a Christian, but I think I'm going to go down to the bar and I'm going to witness to those folks. Man, they need the Lord, so I'm going to sit at the bar. I'll order me an Old Dools, a Kingsbury brew, and I mean, it don't have any alcohol as much as I love beer now, and I'm going to witness to those folks, and you're setting yourself up to fall and to fail. You're giving occasion to the flesh. Another place the Bible says to make not provision for the flesh. Got to watch out. Got to be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Christians, we are accepted because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Jesus Christ became the end of the law for righteousness to all that believe. So our righteousness is in Christ, but our righteous works that we do in Christ are to be to his glory. And to do that, you got to walk in the Spirit. Now our soul has been redeemed, our spirit has been quickened by God's Holy Spirit, and we are indwelt with that Spirit of Christ. The Bible says if he who hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. We're indwelt with that Spirit of Christ. And here it says, if we live in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now that's a key. You've got the Spirit, your Spirit of God indwells you. And you may not have a filling of the Spirit because you've allowed all the world to enter and fill that cup about three-fourths full. And there's not much room for the things of God or the things of the Spirit. You've kind of booted him out. That can happen. Now, I just read in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It said, let us do that. So there's an inference. There's an inference there that walking in the Spirit is optional. You have a free will. You have an old nature. You can go there if you want to. You can live there if you want to. Won't keep you out of heaven, but it'll keep you from a lot of blessings. It'll destroy your character, your testimony, maybe your marriage, your witness. My. Now that walking in the Spirit, walking the walk is not always so easy because these old bodies of flesh have not been redeemed. I hope that's not a news flash for you. Your soul has been redeemed. Your spirit has been renewed in the image of God. You've been renewed in the image of God by that quickening spirit, Jesus Christ, who has woven itself with our spirit. As Brother Phil puts it, good way to put it. And we're indwelt there, but we still have to deal with that old flesh. And it's a rascal. And you need to recognize some of those little things that flesh wants to do, that they're sin. They're not of God. They're not of the Holy Spirit. But they're of the world. And our text here is, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, as Christians, I already said our acceptance is in Christ. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted with God. But sometimes my life, things that I do in this body of flesh, aren't very acceptable to God. because I'm walking outside of the light. I'm walking outside of that Holy Spirit of God. So then when we trust Christ, we're accepted. Our works in the name of Jesus Christ are accepted. We get rewarded for that work at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, then you're walking the walk and you're talking the talk. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But did you notice there that said, but, that's a word of contrast, but if, that creates that option again. You're going to have those blessings of God only if you do what God says to do. And he don't make you do that. No one's going to twist your arm. No one had to twist your arm to have you come to church today. Except if you're a child, maybe your dad or mama had to. I had to have my arm twisted. A lot of times I had to have my seat warmed up a little bit before I went to church. Especially if cartoons were on or the Lone Ranger or something like that on TV. Romans 8:1, Paul said this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Most preachers in the verse right there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's how that verse ends up. No condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the fellow who makes the right choice. He walks after the Spirit and not the flesh. All right, but look out. Here's a problem. The moment you step out of the light, the moment you take your eyes off the Lord, like Peter, I brought that up, the moment you leave that spiritual and gravitate to the carnal, you leave the spirit and yield to the flesh, sin lieth at the door. It's going to be behind every door, behind every corner. It's going to be strutting itself in every TV program you watch, everything that you do. Sin's going to be hiding out, lurking behind the door that the devil might lure you and entice you into something sinful. You can be assured that sin lieth at the door. A fellow says, well, preacher, I'm above all that. Preacher, I'll tell you this morning, I'm saved, I'm satisfied, sanctified, set aside, serving God, man. I'm glad I'm not like them, that other crowd. Bible says, listen, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You better take a second look. I remember an old preacher said when somebody would come up and criticize him about something, he'd say, well, yeah, okay, what's your problem? Duh. We've all got a problem. You start judging, I go over to Tim and say, Tim, where's you? I say, Tim, you're about the ugliest man I ever saw. And you know what he said? He said, yeah, and your mama dresses you funny. I mean, we've all got a problem, don't we? And I know Sheila wouldn't marry an ugly man, so I just said that just to be saying it. I don't know how thick her glasses are, but no. She's all right. All right. But what I'm saying, hey, David was a man after God's own heart. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Bible says? And man, he's a man after God's own heart. He's strutting himself up there in the palace, and he looked out the window, and he sees Bathsheba. My, look at that woman. I'm sure he just covered his eyes and sees her bathing. And you know what happened? That spiritual side of David, he just kind of ignored. Kind of ignored for the minute. And the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh took over. The Bible says, when lust conceives, it bringeth forth sin. The moment he started dwelling upon that beautiful young woman, sin lieth at the door. The moment You're on that job, and that fella in that booth working next to you, and that little cubicle working next to you, he starts flirting with you, and he starts telling you how hot you are and how wonderful you are and how you deserve better than what you've got at home. Look out, sin lieth at the door. My, my, my. I've told this story before about just the moment that that lady gets it in her head that she's going to serve God, she's going to make her marriage work, and she's going to do everything right, and then they'll hire Fabio and put him right next to her on the job. Watch out for that stuff. Hey, when that happens, sin lieth at the door. Hey, Joseph didn't go there. You don't have to go there. Joseph with Potiphar's wife, he didn't want any part of it. He didn't want any part of it. Moses didn't go there. The Bible says Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ above the treasures in Egypt. You don't have to go there. You need to recognize whenever that sin raises its ugly head. All right, how about you? How about you? We talked about Moses, all these folks. How about you? What sin lieth at the door for you? Your body hadn't been redeemed. Ecclesiastes says man in his, is it Ecclesiastes? Says man in his best state is altogether vanity. In his best state is altogether vanity. Man, that's a pretty tough indictment on all of us. Body hadn't been redeemed. At Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. I'm full. I've got the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Watch it. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Hadn't been redeemed. You got to deal with it, folks. There's a two of, somebody wrote a book, The Two of Us, or The Two of You. The body of sin and the body of the Spirit. My, my, my. In your Christian walk, the moment that you take your eyes off the Lord and you look to your own spirituality, you think you're above it. You try to stand on your own two feet and not trusting in the arm of God, you've got a problem, because sin lieth at the door. You say, well, preacher... you're kind of preaching to the choir, that you don't know how spiritual I am. Man, I've been in church most of my life, and I've run this at church, you just don't know how spiritual I am. No, but God does. He knows how spiritual you am, and he knows how spiritual you ain't. Is that good grammar? He knows how unspiritual I can be. He knows how unspiritual you can be. But do we recognize who we are outside of that spiritual life? Maybe you're that spiritual fellow who gets upset and filled with envy, and you get angry about it because someone got a promotion at work that you thought you should have had. I know a policeman who missed out on a detective promotion, and he didn't do a lick of work for the next 15 years. He thought he should have had that promotion. How about you, Christian? Have you ever let that to enter your mind? Do you think that's of the Spirit? That envy and that jealousy? Maybe that you're that spiritual fella who shook your fist and something else at the one who cut you off in traffic, who, by the way, you refuse to let in. He tries to get in, and you speed up and try to cut him off so he can't get in. And then when he makes his way in anyway, you shake something at him. Hey, sin lieth at the door. Six things I hate: a proud look and a haughty spirit. Maybe you're that spiritual person who speeds up when someone pulls out in front of you, so you run right up on their tail. You don't brake. You run right up on his tail to let him know that he's pulled out in front of you. Getting very quiet here in the house of God this morning. Hey, sin lieth at the door. Maybe you're that spiritual Christian who constantly flirts with that woman that they hired that works next to you. I think I touched on that. You're that spiritual Christian who constantly posts sensual selfies of yourself on Facebook. Fishing for attention. Uh-oh. If you're on Facebook, there are people that want to be friends with you. I'll turn it over and there'll be three or four ladies that want to be friends with me. Great big eyes. How long are you going to look at that stuff? Too long. Too long. I'll say, Joyce, do you know her? Is that a friend of yours wanting to be my friend? She looks, she laughs. Hey, sin lieth at the door. You want, and you post all those selfies and you fish. You want everybody to, you want to hear back all the compliments on how good you look. Whew. Said, preacher, now you're meddling. Now, there's a place. There's a place. The Bible talked those ladies, young ladies in Israel, before they got married, man, they'd wear all the jewelry and deck themselves out hunting a husband. But if you already got one, you need to leave it alone. Maybe you're that spiritual Christian who sends your little girls to school in the shortest, tightest shorts that she can find. Because you weren't allowed to wear that, and everybody's wearing that stuff. And she looked, after all, she looks so cute in them. Look out, you're setting her up, folks. You're setting her up. Sin lieth at the door. The Bible says modest apparel. That's what it says. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I sure know what it isn't. You'll see the news programs. You'll see at the high schools, all the girls walking down the shorts right up to here. Well, if I was a boy in this age, I'd love it when the ladies wore dress that way. But look out. Who you want to serve? You want to serve God or mammon? Material thing. What? It's a choice. Maybe... What's the song? It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore. See, I know all those old songs. Joyce, should I tell on you? Joyce's first hit song was When Minnie Works and Minnie Skirts at Moses General Store. She recorded a song with Johnny Capp, some of those big Nashville produced songs. When Minnie Works and Minnie Skirts. About how they all old men coming in the store looking at Minnie's mini skirt. We're a mess. You're a mess. I'm a mess. We're all a mess outside of the light of the Spirit of God. Sorry, Joyce. Maybe you're that spiritual Christian that constantly lifts up your children above everyone else's kids. And you're either, they've got to be winners. Oh, we won the championship. We had to miss several Sundays of church for them to practice and have their championship. That's okay because they won. Sin lieth at the door whenever you start putting things ahead of God. Man, I may not have a job next week. Maybe you're that spiritual Christian who thinks that it's okay. It's just okay to stop after work, have a couple beers. Phil talked about that. Wine is a drinker. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. But man, you're just going to stop in for a generation ago. That is, those factory workers, they'd stop at the bar on the way home, have a couple beers. And I mean, I'm a Christian. That's okay, and it won't hurt. I've worked hard. Just want to sit and relax a little bit. Have me a couple beers. And you sit down in that bar. And after that second beer, you notice there's a lady at the end of the bar, and she gets up to go to the restroom. And she walks right behind you, and as she walks past you, get that little faint whiff of perfume. A lot of folks looking funny at me now. You turn and you watch her as she walks to the restroom. About the time she gets to the restroom, she kind of gives you a glance. Sin lieth at the door. Better get up and run out of that place as fast as your legs can carry you. My, my, my. I didn't know about all that stuff. Sin lieth at the door. You're that spiritual Christian who sits in church and you see others getting all the attention. Those singers getting all that attention, and you know in your own mind that you do more work around this place than anybody else. Never get any attention. Sin lieth at the door. You envy the singers. You envy the musicians. Everyone who gets recognized for anything, you envy those people. Maybe you're that spiritual Christian who likes to sow discord among the brethren. That's another one of those six things that the Lord hates. Instead of going to the preacher with something you got a problem with, you start spreading discord among the brethren, trying to get folks on your side. That's what the crowd did with Moses. Corey. I said, "Preacher, I never heard. You mean that kind of stuff?" "Yeah, that kind of stuff that we never see, because it's not really not one of the Ten Commandments. If you look strictly, instead of." Hey, maybe you're that spiritual singer in church who after the service, you walk up to as many as you people as you can, fishing for them to tell you just how good you sang. I almost forgot the words of that song. "Oh, you sang great." "Oh, I did." My brother Aubrey played football in Alverton, Pennsylvania in high school when we lived in Pennsylvania a while. I was 2 or 3 years old, but Mama told this story that Aubrey scored a touchdown one night at the football game and said on the way home, he has kept asking Jerry, said, "What were they saying about me? What were they saying about me? Hey, we're a mess. I know a preacher who would go to the camp meetings with us, and he was scheduled to preach on a Tuesday night with another preacher, a pretty big name preacher. And this preacher buddy of mine asked the pastor, he said, I'd like to preach last, if it's okay." You know what that is? They always save the big name, the headliner, to last. He wanted everybody to think that he was the headliner. My, 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 my. Sin. Is that right, Brother Phil? Sin lieth at the door. Whichever way you turn, behind door number one kind of sin. Behind door number two, another kind of sin. My, my, my. Maybe you're that person sitting in the crowd who thinks to himself, "And if that singer thinks he can sing, just wait till I can get up there. Wait till I, man, they haven't heard me. Wait till they hear me sing." Adam in the garden. Man, I'm sure it happened back there with Adam. Fella comes over and says, "Adam, you sure got a good-looking garden this year." Adam says, "Yeah, well, when I got it, it was kind of a mess, but I've kind of made some changes here and there, and yeah, I've kind of fixed it." Yeah. hey, it's time for me to quit. Let me move on. Maybe you're that preacher who listens to preaching and says to himself, that's not preaching. Wait till I get up and preach. Then they'll hear some real preaching. You scoundrel, you need to go to the altars where you need to go. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Man, I could go on for hours. I'm not going to. All the sinfulness, hit on all the sinfulness and the vileness of the flesh. The moment you take your eyes off the Lord, sin lies at the door. For I know that in me, Paul says, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. What then? Romans 3:9, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they were all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. None that doeth good, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, does that mean me too? Yeah, that means you too. What sin lies at your door this morning? Is it the lust of the flesh, the desires for riches, covetousness? Do you spend $20 a week on lottery tickets because you're just not satisfied with God's provision? You want more. Do you have things that you put before God? That's called idols. Do you put yourself first, then God second? Or is it me first, you next? Always me, 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 me. What sin lies at the door? Philippians 3:24, our conversation is in heaven, from whence as we look, also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our cute bodies. It don't say that, does it? Who shall change our extremely talented and gifted. No, it don't say that. It says, who shall change our vile bodies. Got to recognize it. Before you can deal with it, you got to remember and recognize that it's there. Just about the time I think I'm getting spiritual, that flesh will rear its ugly head. And I got to try to recognize it for what it is and ask God to forgive me and put it under the blood and go on for God. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned unto his glorious body. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I'm done. Song leader, come. Everyone stand up. What sin is lying at your door this morning? Did I point out some things you never thought about? Did I point out some things that maybe you've come close to? If you haven't, you will. But if you live long at all, you'll come close to some of those sins that so easily beset us. God wants you to have a tender heart, a yielded heart to him, to walk in the light as he is in the light. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Where do you stand this morning? Bible says if we judge ourselves, we're not judged. God expects you to figure out that sin that besets you and to judge it for what it is and ask God to forgive you and to give you strength to overcome it and move on. God will always make a way for you to get out of that provision that you made for sin, that occasion for sin. He'll make a way for you to escape that. But you've got to make the decision to take the way out. The altar's open this morning. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, why not? The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It said God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He'll accept you for salvation just exactly like you are. Then he moves in and will make those changes that he wants in your life. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Don't say you might be, said you shall be. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to get that out of the way, step right up. Sit up right up to this old-fashioned altar. If there's a burden on your heart for whatever reason, won't you come today? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let who is athirst come. And whoever heareth say, come. Drink the water of life freely. What page?
270. 270.